This week, we begin a series of thumbnail sketches with people who've announced their candidacy for Spokane City Council seats. This is an interview with me, Rebecca White, and candidate Zach Sapone. He's one of five candidates who's running for Spokane City Council District 3 in Northwest Spokane. This interview has been edited for length and clarity.
So my name's Zach Sapone, and I was born and raised here in Spokane District 3 in Indian Trail. And I'm a proud North Central alum, just like my grandpa. And I decided to run for Spokane City Council because I believe I have the experience, skills, and ideas to work hard to address the challenges of our city to make sure that everyone has a fair shot. After graduating from North Central, I went to college in Washington, D.C., where I saw that not everyone had the same opportunities. I was one of three students from all of Eastern Washington, and my roommate was one of 22 boys from an all-boys private school in New Jersey. So I decided to become a teacher and move back to Eastern Washington and teach in some of our highest need schools. There, I really saw a lot of challenges that our students experienced, and I would tell my students to work really hard and that they could overcome these problems, but I just saw a system that was stacked against them over and over again when it came to healthcare, transportation, housing, and good-paying jobs.
I feel like that was a lot of the background questions I have, so I guess we can really start on the policy areas that I had for every candidate. One of the biggest ones that is going to be facing you if voters choose you to represent District 3 is recovery and economic development. So our economy has taken a pretty serious hit during the pandemic with a lot of people unemployed, a lot of Spokane businesses closing for good, and a lot of people not able to do the basics like buy food or pay rent. What should our city be doing to help our community and our economy get back on their feet?
Yeah, I definitely have seen a lot of these challenges, both in the classroom and outside the classroom. When the pandemic hit last year, I stepped up and started volunteering to meet the needs of our community, partnering with local businesses and meeting the needs of our community. So we would raise funds to pay businesses to keep them employed and making a profit, and then get food to folks who were in need. And so I think that we have to look for different ways that we can partner and promote this sort of economic development in our region and regrow and rebuild our local economy and make sure that we're getting fair living wages for folks. And so one way that I, as an educator, and my background is in education, I think a lot about how can we train our students for jobs of the future, and really looking at needs in our community around the trades and manufacturing. There's a high demand. This also addresses some of our homeless or our housing crisis. There's just not enough people in the skilled trade jobs. So I want to look at how can the city use its platform to build the partnership with the school district, the city, and then also the trades and manufacturing to grow those types of jobs. That's one way. We also need to look at what can we do to give relief and incentives to businesses so that they can rebuild and grow in this community. Or in this post-pandemic era. And so I think we can look at creative ways that we can do that, looking at what are water and utility rates for commercial businesses, and can those be different than residential rates to provide some relief there. We can also look at tax credits for revitalizing storefronts and encouraging growth back in our core, and getting those businesses that had to shut their doors to reopen and grow again. And then we also need to look at what infrastructure needs can the city do to support our businesses. We've seen great success in the North Monroe Business District about where the city, when we invest in our community, that is able to create an environment that is positive both for consumers and businesses, and really supports those businesses and grows our local economy. So looking at where other areas the city can invest in the infrastructure and making sure that we have the infrastructure in place to support our businesses. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned some sort of utility relief. Would that just be like kind of lower rates for businesses or a break for some period of time? What does that idea look like?
Yeah, I think it could be different ways. And I think there's also ways that we can promote some environmental sustainability initiatives around that too. And looking at, you know, who's using, what are the current water and utility rates, and how can we structure those differently to provide relief to revitalize businesses, but also to encourage sustainable practices? I think there's multiple opportunities we have in that. to really promote that. And that goes more into some of the climate change environmental policies too.
I do have a question about that coming up.
Okay.
My next question I had for everybody is on homelessness. The current city council and the mayor's administration have been pretty heavily criticized for how they've handled homelessness, as in when it gets cold, there's often a scramble to find more beds before a cold snap. How can our city get ahead of that problem and be more proactive about preparing our shelter system for winter?
Yeah, I mean, I studied homelessness from national experts at Princeton and took a class from the deputy mayor of New York. And we really dug deep into what are these best practices around homelessness and try to figure out how can we reduce this growing issue in our community locally here in Spokane and also around the country. And I am a strong believer in making decisions based on data and looking at what is proven to work and implementing those strategies. So I think that a couple things that we could be doing is really focusing on a housing first approach and getting folks into shelters and off the streets where they can access resources and address their needs. And then creating a pathway out of the shelter system for transitional housing and then permanent housing after that. We also need a regional approach and tracking system to homelessness where we can collaborate and identify exactly who are homeless individuals, what are the needs, and how can we get those needs met. But ultimately, the administration and the mayor's office has to be the one leading this. The council can only appropriate funds. They're not the executive. They can't fill positions and do this. And so I think that council has to continue, and I would be supporting what council has been doing is appropriating funds to build shelters and supporting that, because that's the only thing that have proven to be effective at reducing a homeless population. And then making sure that we're collaborating with the mayor's office to get those positions filled. And really the onus will be on the mayor to then address that and execute a good plan. But council has been supportive of funding those shelters, and I think I will continue to do that.
One follow-up question I have to that, I'm not 100% sure if this is your opponent's approach, but one sort of reoccurring idea, I guess, about addressing homelessness, people say, I think it's the sort of tough love approach, we need to not do handouts. Do you think that housing first approach addresses that concern that I think a lot of voters have about enabling drug use or things like that that they feel that are tied to homelessness, or does it address the root cause?
Again, I look at what has been proven to be effective, and that is how I make my decisions, is looking at the research, looking at what other places and cities and communities have done, and basing my decisions off of that. And that a housing first approach that gets people into shelters has been the only way that has been effective at reducing homeless population. And so I believe in using facts to make my decisions and not just going off of what I feel is right. But on top of that, I do think about like what it means. And it's a question we have to ask ourselves. Do we think it's better? Like people who are homeless, many do struggle with mental illness, but not all of them. There's other issues that cause people to become homeless in the first place, such as an affordable housing crisis and eviction that cause people to become homeless in the first place. But do we want folks who are struggling with mental illness to be out on the street and using out in our streets, in our community? And that's when we could end up with drug paraphernalia in our parks and on our streets. Or do we want to get them into a shelter where they can get services in a safe place, but also access more resources? To me, that seems more just and more fair. And we know that we can't just imprison somebody because they're homeless. The Supreme Court has spoken on that, and you can't jail somebody for sleeping on public lands. And so we need to invest and make sure we have enough shelter beds for folks, and that they are equipped with the resources that they need to be able to address the different issues for a lot of our people who are experiencing street homelessness. and then making sure that we are also preventing folks from becoming homeless in the first place too.
Well, my next question is related to affordable housing. There are a lot of people from both sides of the aisle raising the alarm about a housing crisis in our region, specifically affordable housing. What should our city be doing to address the need for affordable housing?
I'm a millennial, and many of my friends here who grew up here are looking, and myself included, are looking to how can we buy houses and afford to live here. Rents have been increasing. Our housing prices are going way up. And a lot of my friends are struggling to get their first homes. And it's becoming a big problem, especially if we want to continue to keep our families here in Spokane. I don't think that we should be sending our kids away from Spokane in order to get ahead in life, but they should be able to plant their roots here and grow a family and continue to live in our community. And so some of those issues, again, I studied urban planning. And so some of those issues that we can do to address the housing crisis is to really focus on our master plan of building around centers and corridors and having some infill and density and just promoting more development. We also need to look at how we can reform the multifamily tax exemption. The multifamily tax exemption is to promote affordable housing, and it's not working here in Spokane to really create units that are affordable to people below the median income. The Kendall Yards was built using the multifamily tax exemption, and I don't think people would consider that affordable housing for people, but rather some luxury housing. And so we need to be making sure that the city is giving tax credits that are aimed at helping working families in the middle class. And another way is that we need to promote development. And one way we can do that is by fast tracking permits, allowing them to be paid after the permitting process. There's just a backlog of the process. And so that makes the cost more and more expensive for developers as they're developing houses, if they have to wait months and months to get the permits to be built. They can't, that's lost revenue that then they have to increase the cost of development, increase the cost of the house when they're built. So the city needs to look at ways that we can streamline this process to really promote more development. And like I mentioned, the cost of materials has gone up. That's as a result of the pandemic, but we also have a shortage of workers in our community. That's something that we can work on that I mentioned earlier to grow our workforce and promote our local economy. And it'll also help address our housing crisis here locally too.
So I know one thing that's been challenging for developers and local governments as they try to do infill is that sort of not in my backyard mentality that a lot of sort of neighbors have when people want to build in their neighborhoods. Or do you have a sort of an approach you would do when dealing with those longtime residents don't want to see that multifamily or affordable housing built in their neighborhoods?
Yeah, I hear those concerns from folks when I'm listening in a neighborhood council meetings or talking to folks in the community. They're concerned that their neighborhood, their character is going to change. They don't want these high-rise multifamily apartments located next to their houses or their neighborhood that would change the fundamental character and uniqueness. And we would bulldoze our old historic homes to build these high rises. And I think that is a valid concern. What we need to do is look at our master plan that has been created for the city and really grow up along those. We don't want to be placing multifamily houses in neighborhoods that don't have access to transit. And that would be a problem. We need to build along these corridors and centers and build up the growth on there. And we can also look at how can we build up our downtown. Downtown has a lot of surface parking lots that are great opportunities to create mixed use, more business, generate more business growth, and also more affordable housing, smaller units, and looking at condos too. And so there's a lot of opportunity already that exists in our city that we don't have to be looking at bulldozing houses to create some high-rise apartments, but rather looking at where in our city, along our corridors and in our centers, can we continue to build up and out from there? And that will both be smart development and smart planning for our future.
Public safety was one thing I wanted to get to. So as a city council member, you're going to have a say in police budgets, how many officers we have, if they're going to purchase militarized equipment, or whether there's a shift in approach and you hire more mental health crisis first responders. Should our city be investing more in policing and equipment, or is now maybe the time they should really be looking at alternatives?
As I mentioned from the beginning, I believe in improving our public health and safety, and that is crucial and important to our community. I'm proud to have earned the endorsement of the Spokane Firefighters Union, Local 29, and that's because I believe in looking at how our policy set up to promote safety in our community. And what we know that many times the police do play an important role in our community in enforcing the law and preventing crime from happening. And so there will always be a role for police in our community. But there's a lot of times that the police are not equipped with the skills that the situation calls for. And a lot of that is mental health crises or substance abuse crises. And so I strongly believe that we need to get the appropriate response to the appropriate place at the appropriate time. And so having an investment in mental health and behavioral health specialists to respond with police at an incident who can de-escalate a situation is something that I strongly support. And also supporting our mental health diversion center so that folks get their needs met and they're not just going to go to jail and not get the get resources that they need and then end up back out of jail in a vicious cycle of recidivism and cycling in and out of jail over and over again and for the same crimes. So I think that there is a continued and important role for our police, and that we also need to be looking at investments of how can we address the situations in our city with the right resources. And I think ultimately that'll create a safer city for our community.
So I guess one of my last questions is, our city council has tried to take on environmental policy in a number of ways, electric vehicles, water usage, and planting more trees. If you're elected to city council, would you support those efforts? And are there other things our city could be doing to protect our environment that maybe you would do, or you think there should be more that we should be doing?
Yeah, I absolutely think that climate change is a crisis of our generation that needs to be addressed. And it's a role that we need to be addressing at the city level. And we also need to be protecting our valuable resources here in Spokane. That's our river, our natural lands. And so as a city council member, I will support and work to promote policy that addresses climate change and protects our environment here locally. A couple ways we can do that, as you have mentioned, is looking at how can we incentivize a reduction in water and making sure that our aquifer stays replenished in healthy levels in case there is a drought. That could be looking at different utility rates that promote decreased water use so that we're watering our lawns in the evenings or overnight instead of at the height of the day in the heat in the summer. Another policy is just a reduction in reliance on vehicles in our city. And so investing in our public transit and walkable neighborhoods so our people don't have to use cars for every day trips, but they can simply just walk to the store and back home. That promotes a healthier community. And I think we've seen during this pandemic, a lot more people are really enjoying being able to go outside and walk around their neighborhoods. And we need to make sure that we have policy that promotes that and infrastructure with more bike infrastructure and alternative multimodal transportation needs.
So yeah, my last question, just to wrap up, is compared to your four opponents, why are you the best choice for District 3?
Yeah, I think compared to everybody else in the race, I have a unique experiences, skills, and ideas to work hard for our community. My background is I'm a teacher, and I'm a teacher who grew up here and has seen a lot of the problems in our community. And I understand it, I see it. And I want to work to make sure that our kids, our grandkids, everybody has that fair shot and that opportunity. So that's why I went and got the skills that make me different than other folks. I've learned how policy can be effective and how city and local government can really work to promote efficient use of government and make it so that it's fair for everybody. And I want to work hard. I've been proven to work hard. I do that as a teacher and policy and want to do that for city council. I show up in our community. I step up during a pandemic and volunteer to address the challenges in our community. And I want to take that to City Hall, show up for the folks in District 3. I'm always available. And they can check out my website, zachzapone.com, as my email and phone number. And I listen to everybody, even when there are disagreements, and want to find solutions to make sure that everyone has that fair opportunity here in Spokane.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me this morning.